It is the Heritage Day edition of Power Business, of course. Nhlanhla Sihume in for Nolthando this evening and getting into a conversation right now with Itzhak Odendaal, who is an Old Mutual Wealth Investment Strategist, bringing us a unique perspective on this discussion. We're delving into insights into South Africa's economic journey, coupled with a forward-thinking approach, shedding light on the path we should really tread in the years to come as well. Itzhak, a pleasure to have you on the program this evening. Now, reflecting on South Africa's economic heritage, what would you say are some of the key milestones or even the turning points that have really shaped the country's financial landscape, and how can they inform our understanding of its present state?
Yeah, it's obviously a very good evening. It's obviously a very complex question, and I mean, you can spend hours talking about this. But I mean, in simple terms, the big turning points in South Africa's history was really the discovery of, you know, large-scale gold deposits, and before that, diamonds, you know, and really turbocharged South Africa as a mining country, but also that kind of locked us into a global capitalist system, you know, because the capital that was needed to build those gold mines, those very deep and very expensive gold mines, you know, that had to come from abroad. And in fact, I think a day or two ago is the birthday of Anglo-American Corporation, and it's called Anglo-American because the money came from England and America. So immediately that kind of propelled South Africa. It caused very rapid development, but it also linked us into global markets because you know, the mining business, the gold mining business, you need capital. And obviously also we didn't actually use the gold in South Africa. That gold gets exported. So, you know, that really led to the development of very, very sophisticated financial markets. So the JSE, for instance, the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, was founded back in the 1880s, soon after the discovery of gold. And so South Africa actually has a very, very strong history of very sophisticated financial markets, capital markets, banking system. And that has always stood us in good stead in terms of being able to support domestic businesses, and also now more recently for the government to be able to fund itself. And that compares to other emerging markets that have always struggled to raise capital, and they have committed the so-called original sin of borrowing abroad and then facing extreme currency risk by doing so.
You reflected a bit about what used to be the apartheid era here in South Africa. I mean, this particular era had a profound impact on the country's economy. How has the nation managed to even transition from that dark period into the post-apartheid era in terms of economic policies and also inclusive growth?
Yes, no, I mean, obviously apartheid was a very deep, dark era. And again, you can spend hours talking about how that damaged our economy. The transition wasn't straightforward, but it happened against the backdrop of global, you know, sort of globalization becoming supercharged. So if we think about, you know, that era of sort of the fall of the Berlin Wall and kind of globalization really picking up speed, and then the big one was China in 2001 joining the World Trade Organization, and suddenly there's this enormous demand for commodities, and that kind of led to an era of quite rapid growth before 2008.
So in recent years, South Africa has also faced economic challenges, including high unemployment, inequality as well. What lessons do you believe, Itzhak, can we draw from the past to even address these pressing issues and also ensure a more equitable future?
Yeah, so I think, again, difficult topic. A couple of things stand out. Number one is South Africa has typically done well when the world economy was growing strongly. And we've struggled to really grow on our own steam. So we need a bit of luck in the form of better global growth. But, you know, if you look back at our past periods where the economy's performed well, it's also periods where we've kept pace with infrastructure. You know, we didn't struggle with load shedding in the 60s and the 70s, although there were concerns, but it wasn't really an issue. And we continuously invested into infrastructure. And of course, that is our biggest headwind at the moment. It's just the failure of obviously, you know, the electricity network, and increasingly the railways, the ports, the roads, etc. So I think, you know, that's kind of an obvious place to start, just getting those basics right, basic infrastructure, basic service delivery, and then you can obviously start getting a bit more clever with your economic policy
right,
on top of that.
Right. So the global economic landscape is also evolving rapidly, with digitization as well as technology playing a pivotal role. How can South Africa then leverage its economic heritage to even adapt and thrive in this changing environment?
Yeah, so again, we do, you know, we often complain about the education system in South Africa, for instance, but we do have a pretty strong education system, although it only serves a small minority, but it's, you know, it's there and it delivers quality education. You know, we've got a handful of good universities and a lot of good schools, and that obviously gives you a springboard into this global digital economy. You know, the trick is just going to be to extend the quality of education to, you know, to the majority. And kind of expand that, and yeah, and just play on our strengths. As I said, you know, we've got a sophisticated banking sector, for instance, and that can play a big role into the rest of Africa. I think that is still going to be our big economic opportunity. Is not BRICS, but it's the rest of Africa. You know, it's really tapping into the billion people that live north of our border, and that's a massive potential market, but obviously also quite a challenging one.
Right. So transformation and empowerment have also been central themes in South Africa's economic policies. What progress would you say has been made in this regard, and what strategies should the country even pursue to also ensure this continued progress into the future?
Look, that's a very thorny question, and obviously quite an emotional one or an emotive one. I think we have made progress, but I think we also have not made enough progress, and I think we can agree on that. I think one of the things we have not really done is to stand back and say, are these policies working? And what are the benefits and what are the costs? And are those costs worth paying? I think we all can agree that the country needs to do more to be more inclusive and to be more equal, you know, greater racial equality. But, you know, I think it may be a good, you know, a couple of decades into democracy, it's maybe a good time to sort of reassess, are these policies working? How do we fine-tune them? Are we getting the desired results? Or is this only benefiting a new kind of minority of privileged people?
Isaac, if you'll be a bit patient with me, I want to take one call from our listeners while we also wrap up our conversation as well. Let's go to Randfontein right now and speak to Ntate Sifudi. Of course, as we reflect on this big question or topic as to what does South Africa's financial and economic heritage tell us about our future as well? Ntate Sifudi, is the future looking bright?
The future looks doom. It's a gloom all around in Tlantla, and the foundation of the economy of this country pre the new dispensation, so-called, has been about exclusivity, imperialism, migrant labor system, capitalism has never benefited the indigenous people of this world. This dispensation, it was just the co-option of those who were politically connected. And the status quo has remained, and the migrant labor system has wreaked havoc. And imagine when Mandela was released as a token of appreciation, Oppenheimer gave him a house in Houghton. That was just that. What did Oppenheimer give to the families of those who died underground? They've remained in those settlements, the homelands. And those who were the imperialists, the white people, benefited. And that legacy, the wealth, continues to be skewed in the favor of white people. And a few connected politician, and nothing to write home about this economy post pre and post new dispensation. Good evening to you, Ntlantla.
Good evening.
And your guest.
Good evening to you, Ntate Sifudi, in Randfontein this evening, giving us his perspective as we really pose this question on what does South Africa's financial and economic heritage really tell us about the future? Itzhak, as we wrap up our conversation and look ahead as well, what is your vision for South Africa's economic future, and what steps do you think should be taken to ensure that the nation remains resilient, inclusive, and competitive on the global stage?
Yeah, and I must say, I don't disagree with many of the points your previous caller made. I think there's still a lot to be done to ensure that this economy benefits everybody. I think the challenge, of course, is in the global economy, a global digital economy. It really is skills that matter, and you know, skilled people can move, and they can you know. So, for instance, one of the things we should do is not chase away skilled people, but actually attract skilled people from the rest of the world. And as I said, I think really the challenge is to get the basics right, in, just in terms of getting, you know, fixing the roads, fixing the rail, fixing electricity, fixing the education system, broadening out the quality of education so that everybody can benefit. And really, you know, that is a very good platform from which to then grow the economy and improve livelihoods as we go into the future.
Let me thank you for your time. Of course, that's Itzhak Odendaal. He's an Old Mutual Wealth Investment strategist as well, helping us give some perspective as we reflect on South Africa's heritage when it comes to lessons that can be learned regarding the economic state of this particular country. And when you look at the high unemployment rate, issues around inequality as well, they still persist as we reflect on the economy today. And